So just 2 days ago, ProPublica, a US public independent news publication, published a story about a 35-year-old woman, Portia Ngumezi, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, who died, you could say was killed, because of the abortion laws in Texas. She'd had a miscarriage, and because doctors were reluctant to perform a D&C on her, she died in hospital after losing her pregnancy at 11 weeks. She was in emergency for more than 6 hours, and she bled so much that she needed 2 blood transfusions. She had 2 young sons, and was the 3rd woman in Texas to have died as a result of the changes to abortion laws in the state since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. To try and ensure that this sort of thing doesn't happen here, we've got Dr. Sarah Mansfield from the Victorian Greens on the phone to talk about a proposed constitutional amendment that they're putting through. Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell us what your proposed amendment is?
Yes. Yeah, so the Greens have put forward a bill that would enshrine access to abortion in the Victorian Constitution. What that would mean is that the laws that we have in this state that allow access to abortion would be protected from any future government that sought to change those laws. Changing the Constitution is a very high bar, so you need at least 60% of the Parliament to do that. And we believe this is a way of ensuring that, you know, people's personal politics and ideology don't get in the way of ensuring that people have access to what is basic healthcare.
Now, why are you putting this forward? I mean, obviously, there's the Roe v. Wade overturning and Trump's election victory in the state. But why is this important here in Australia?
Yeah, so the case you mentioned earlier is obviously absolutely heartbreaking. I mean, that is so tragic, and it shows you what can happen when you let ideology enter a space when it should be a matter of, you know, access to basic fundamental health care. It has created all of this awful complexity, and it's having tragic consequences. If we think we're immune from that sort of politics here in Australia, you'd be wrong. We're already seeing it. If you look at the recent Queensland election, abortion was brought up as an issue. They've only relatively recently decriminalised abortion in Queensland, and there was already discussion of changing some of those laws. In South Australia, very recently, there was an attempt to wind back access to abortion, and that was only narrowly defeated in that parliament. Federally, we're also hearing that.
Actually, could we just stop a second and talk a bit about that South Australian one? When you say it was narrowly defeated, what sort of margin are we talking there? Do you know?
I don't have the numbers on off
okay,
the top of my head.
I'm sorry, I do. There were 9 votes that were in favour of change. It was on late-term abortions. There were 9 votes in favour of removing the right to late-term abortions and 10 votes against. And
yes,
those
so that's
9...
what you're talking about.
Pardon?
That's what we're talking about. It's that close. And, you know, at the moment it's, you know, what we've heard, and it's heartening, you know, the government, and we've heard from the opposition, they have no intention at the moment to change any, you know, of our abortion laws. But a change in government, a change in the makeup of parliament, which does happen, could mean that this issue is back on the table, and it doesn't take much to wind back that access that's been really hard fought. And you don't have to look very far back in history to see what things were like in Victoria when abortion was illegal. You know, that it still happens, but in extremely unsafe, you know, conditions, and has often tragic consequences for the people involved.
Yeah, I think one of the slogans that they had before the US election was, you can't ban abortion, you can only ban safe abortion.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we, as I said, you don't have to look very far back in Victoria's history. You know, you go back a few decades and you see what that looks like.
Now, in the press release that you put a couple of weeks ago on this proposed amendment, you also mentioned that there's already a lot of harmful barriers when it comes to accessing abortion in Victoria. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So at the moment, although it's legal, trying to get an abortion can be very difficult for people. This is very, it's very difficult in some rural and regional parts of Victoria where there are just no local abortion providers. There are different types of abortions. You can access medical and surgical, and there are some parts of Victoria where there's neither available. We also know that many people experience, people who have different views about abortion then not providing, effective referrals to places where they can access that service if they don't want to provide them themselves. So while I respect that people might have a personal conscientious objection, you do have an obligation under the law to refer people on. And we know that there are, some of the different service providers have told us stories, people who have had situations where that hasn't been occurring. So they're just some of the barriers that exist, not being able to access a provider or, the service probably existing, but people who haven't, their own views about it, stopping people from accessing information about it or accessing those services.
And in that regard, there was earlier this month, just over the border in New South Wales, Orange Health Service in central New South Wales have said that they can no longer provide abortions for patients with, quote, no identified pregnancy complications. And that was just after the Trump election. And I think that was showing an impact here on the debate and the confidence that some people who are ideologically opposed to a woman having the right to medical care for her own body, the confidence that they felt in putting forward measures like that.
Yes. And I think, again, this is where, we have to protect any of the access we've got. We've got enough things we've got to work on. We shouldn't have to fight for this access again, because people want to wind back, the laws that we've already got. One of the issues is that, I mentioned before that sometimes as individuals who hold views, we know that there are some institutions that just don't provide the service, some publicly funded hospitals, sometimes religious, sometimes non-denominational, that for whatever reason, don't provide abortion services. We believe that's wrong. If you're a publicly funded service, this is a basic part of healthcare that should be provided. It's very difficult to get a full picture of where the problems are, though, because a lot of the data isn't collected. This is something that's still, which I just find appalling. Again, with all parts of our healthcare system, we collect really good data, and it's like there is still a lot of stigma around abortion, and to the extent that governments are not collecting data and releasing it publicly on, which services are providing, terminations of pregnancy. So I think, we still have a long way to go when it comes to improving access. We need to be working on that. It would be great to be focusing on that. I know that there are good people out there in the system, including government, who want to get some positive changes there. We don't need to then be fighting a battle about whether we should be allowed, whether it should be allowed to be accessed at all.
Now, if we, if this constitutional amendment is to be passed, what needs to actually happen?
So, as I mentioned earlier, to change the constitution is a high bar. That's why it's a good thing to put this in the constitution. But it also means it's a tougher hurdle to get there.
Yeah.
We will need what's called a supermajority in the parliament. So that's at least 60% of both houses of parliament need to get behind this. We are quite optimistic, though. We're having positive discussions with the government. We look forward to some more discussions in the new year about how we can work together to get this done. Because I think, as I said, there's people trying to do some good work to fix the problems we've got. They don't want to see that work undone by a future government. So it's in all of our interest to work together on this. And I would, I would really welcome discussions with anyone on any side of the chamber on this issue. This is one where, you know, the Parliament has to work together. This isn't about party politics, and I'm really optimistic we can get this done.
And what could listeners do to support this? I mean, obviously they should write to their local, to their state members of Parliament for a start.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if you can let your state member of Parliament know that this is something that's important to you and why you want to see them get behind this change, that's incredibly important. They need to know that this is something that the people they represent care about.
And can I just ask one final question? What is it? What are the rights that would actually be protected if this constitutional amendment does go ahead?
So Victoria has an Abortion Act that outlines, you know, that it's full of provisions that allow access to abortion. What this would do is put that act itself in the Constitution. So everything that, you know, is legally already allowed in Victoria would be put in the Constitution. There would be some wording in there as well that would ensure that, you know, you may want to change that act to improve access mm-hmm. further in the future, and that would be fine. There'd be wording to ensure you could improve it, but you couldn't wind back the access that's already available.
Great. Is there any last thing that you'd like to tell our listeners about this?
Look, I think this is, you know, there are people that might say this isn't an issue in Victoria. We've done that. We've moved on. This is Australia. It's not America. I'd really encourage you to, you know, pause for a moment, look what's happened in other states and territories. You cannot assume that progress will just continue. These are hard-won rights. They can very easily be wound back, as we've seen elsewhere around the country and around the world. It's so important that we ensure that access to basic fundamental health care, which is what abortion is, you know, is protected for everyone who needs to access it and is put above politics.
Great. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Sarah. That was Sarah Mansfield, a member of the Victorian Greens in the State Parliament, talking about their proposal for a constitutional amendment to protect the right to safe abortion in Victoria.
And just so important to remember that these hard fought for rights are not, unless they're in the Constitution, then they could very much be removed again.
And as she says, it was an election issue up in Queensland where the Liberals won the election partly based on that platform. The vote in South Australia, which was nine votes in favour of restricting abortion rights, I mean, that was a cross-party group of people that included four women and women from Labour as well as One Nation and the Liberals all coming together to try and restrict a woman's right to abortion. And then, as I say, even in New South Wales with the hospital that's removing those services. Mm. So it's right on our doorstep. It's not like it's a million miles away.
Yeah. It was one vote away
in South Australia. Yep, exactly.